take a 2-0 lead.
All right, there you go. Jason Hayward with the home run. Todd Callis with the home run call. Jason Hayward, of course, the first home run he has hit with the Houston Astros. So a momentous occasion also, because I believe it might be Jason Hayward's ever first home run call of the day. So thank you, everybody, for following Baseball Isn't Boring at BB Isn't Boring. At BB Isn't Boring. We appreciate everybody. We appreciate everybody who is listening, who is following, who is spreading the word, all the above. And we appreciate Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage, Wasabi Technologies, for walking side by side with us in this journey. We got a good one today. Yep, we have a sit down, or I sat down, with Garrett Crochet. Garrett Crochet obviously has established himself this season as an elite starting pitcher. They've drawn back on him, the Chicago White Sox, in terms of his innings. Still making starts, but in terms of his innings. And he was a huge topic of conversation around the trade deadline. And now he's going to be a huge topic of conversation heading into the offseason, because who knows what's going to happen. He has 2 more years left of arbitration. Are the White Sox going to view him like the Tampa Bay Rays viewed some of their pitchers, such as Blake Snell? You got a couple of years of control, so this is the time to trade him. Again, another guy, Chris Sale, going way, way back. How are they going to view him? Are they going to lock him up to an extension? This is one of the biggest names when it comes to the offseason. Another huge name in the offseason, maybe the hugest name in the offseason, the guy who helped with the Yankees walk it off on Thursday night, and that is Juan Soto. So talk to Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic for a conversation about how he viewed the Juan Soto sweepstakes, the Juan Soto free agency, the Juan Soto quest to get over $500, maybe $600 million, who knows. But Ken, obviously, always, always great to talk to about all this stuff, specifically when it comes to what's coming up in this year's offseason. And that's what this is all about. But first, I'm going to give you the sit-down I had with a guy that I really, really enjoyed talking to, and that's Garrett Crochet. In terms of how he's landed here, his journey, how he's viewed his season, how he viewed last offseason, the leap of faith that he took to become a starter, how he viewed the trade deadline, how he views the contract, all of this. It's just a good conversation with what is really, really, really good guy. All right, first we're going to get Garrett Crochet, then I'm going to give you Ken Rosenthal talking about how he views the Juan Soto situation. Hope everyone's having a great day. Here's Garrett.
There's no human being I'd rather be talking right now than Garrett Crochet. Fact. So we talked to the All-Star game, and I really enjoy talking with you. And that's just such a whirlwind, man. Like, it's a thing where you're probably like psyched to be there.
Yeah.
I would imagine you were psyched to be there.
Yeah, right? Definitely.
Yeah. But it's a lot.
Overwhelming at times.
Is it?
Especially media day. Like, you know, I expected it to be, like, you know, pretty crazy. Obviously, I was, you know, in some different conversations at the time. So it was pretty action-packed, to say the
least. You have to sit there, in case people don't know, you have to sit there for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And people are, and the questions are, like, all over the place.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. A lot of repetition. Nothing's off limits.
Well, this is because for you, like, it's trade deadline stuff.
Right, right.
Like, I don't know, and I think I even asked, like, later, but in that time, trade deadline, and then someone will randomly come in with the, what's your favorite color? I don't know.
Pretty much.
I think we were asking, like, what if you have a middle seat in an airplane, do you have the right for both armrests?
That's a good question.
Yeah, but that's a stupid question.
Yeah.
Major leaguers don't have to do middle seats.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway.
That's a tough answer.
What do you got?
I'm definitely taking one of them. I'm probably going my left arm, left-handed. I'm probably taking the left
arm. You have to. The consensus is, well, you have a right to it because you have nothing else.
Yeah.
Right?
That's fair.
You don't have the window. You don't have the aisle. So anyway, congratulations on everything.
Thank you.
It's been fun watching you and seeing, like, your entire season. As we sit here, as it's landed, like, how does it feel compared to when you showed up to camp, like, how you thought it would feel? I mean, is that a stupid question? But that's not a good interviewer or a thing. Yeah. But is that a stupid question?
No, it's definitely more It's been a very rewarding season. Yeah. You know, obviously I bet on myself early in spring when I had the conversation with Getz to kind of move into this role. Not knowing how it was going to turn out, maybe results-wise, but I had a good feeling that health-wise it would be the best move for my career. And that's been true so far. But health aside, looking at the results, it's been much more rewarding than I could have expected. You know, obviously everybody wants to hold themselves to an all-star caliber. But to have reached that this year, it was incredibly rewarding.
When you make that decision, you've probably talked about this before, but when you make that decision to say, okay, I'm going to do this. I want to do this. I want to talk to Chris about this. Take me through that. Like, because that's a big, I'm going to, okay, let's do it.
It was different because Chris was there with me at the alternate site, when I first started relieving. He was, you know, he took me on my first tour of the city of Chicago. I had a good relationship with him, one where I felt like I wouldn't be speaking out of turn to say something of that sort. But I don't really know how to say it other than just, like, to have the balls to, like, actually go down this path. And I have a lot of thanks for him, you know, for actually believing in me and having the trust in me to fulfill this goal. Because without that, you know, I suppose the innings limit, that posed a lot of questions prior to me even making the transition. And I'm sure a lot of GMs would have even scoffed at the idea of me, you know, going through the undertaking of a full season as a starter, having thrown, I don't know, in college I threw like a total of 130 innings. And in the major leagues I had thrown a total of like 80 innings. So it's like you add that together and it's 210 innings in my past 6 years. That's what Logan Webb's going to do this year. It's like that's kind of, you know, that's a big thing to expect of somebody. But, you know, he had the faith and the trust in me, so here we are.
When did you do that first? When does the plan of maybe you're like, okay, I'm going to walk in and talk to him and this is what I want to say. When did that sort of percolate? Like, was it as last year went along, or?
Yeah, well, we did it over the phone. So when he got hired, when the staff changed, I don't recall when that was, maybe right after the trade deadline, early August. Mm-hmm. I was in Charlotte at the time on a rehab assignment. And, you know, he had mentioned, he was like, at the end of the year, like, let's reconnect on this. Wanting to hear my thoughts, which, you know, was incredibly important and meaningful to me that, you know, he actually wanted to take some of my input in. And then the season ended, and, you know, I was kind of just like waiting, and I was like, all right, I'm gonna text him. So I finally texted him. I was like, hey man, I'm pretty antsy thinking about it. And it was right before I actually started training for the off season, right before ramping back up again. And you know, I brought it to him, and I had, you know, 4 years since being drafted, being told that I'd be a starter long term, but having yet to get the opportunity. You know, I had a lot of time to really sit and think about reasons why this was the right move for me. So I felt like, you know, I had a lot to offer in the conversation.
Well, it's good. Yeah. Like, you should have a lot to offer in the conversation. Because you probably, like I said, I mean, you probably thought a lot about it.
Right.
And then you go into it. And so now, then after that, you form a plan.
Right.
And looking back, listen, the plan's worked. But looking back, like, it's not just, I'm going to be a starter. I'm going to do this.
Right.
Like, talk to me a little bit about that plan, like how that sort of, and looking back, if you would have tweaked anything at all.
For me, it almost was as simple as that.
Yeah.
You know, the I suppose the focus in the offseason was a little bit different. It wasn't as strength-based as it was, you know, movement-based, and making sure that I had a good foundation to go into the season with. And, you know, I've been keeping up with all that stuff, and I think that ultimately allowed me to get to this point. It really wasn't anything beyond, I think that this is the right way to go about it, so this is how we're going to go about it. Like this is what I'm going to do day-to-day. This is how I'm going to take care of my body. And that's really as simple as it was.
That's it, really? Yeah. And when you got going, you're like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Really?
Through May and June, it was like, all right, now we don't look back.
Okay. And so when you get into the season, what is – you said you get into May and June, like, but it was – there must have been a gratification of – not to say, hey, listen, I told you. Not I told. I'm like,
so, right, right.
But like, this is I am going to do this. I can do this. I am doing this.
Yeah, I had a rough patch, you know, pretty much the whole month of April. And I was doing a lot of reflecting on that conversation during that time. And a big part of me really wanted to prove Getz right, you know, for giving me the opportunity, having the belief in me. He named me opening day starter, you know, so clearly he had high hopes for me. And I'm saying a lot of me's, but it was like I
But it was you.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I, yeah, I suppose that.
But that is like that. When you say like you want to, like, that's, I think that's a great trait. Like,
yeah,
the
yeah.
fact that you say, hey, listen, I want to justify your decision.
Right, right.
Because it's a leap of faith for everybody.
Right, right. Right. And yeah, that was kind of what helped me turn around, at least. Like, everyone always talks about having their why. Like, why do I, you know, play professional baseball? So then when you start to struggle, you have something to look deeper. And when I was talking to Luke Hochaver in college, you know, that was kind of always my why. It was, there was a lot of people that didn't expect me to get to this point, you know, when I was in college, let alone get to the major leagues. And it's like, you know, I think that a lot of people doubted Getz when he made that move. A lot of people doubted that I could make the transition. So I kind of used that as fuel.
When I just talked to Andrew Benintendi about his college thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So he hit like 270 as a freshman. And then he takes off for the last few months heading into his draft eligible year.
Right.
For you, like, this is, you can draw on things like you said, challenges of college.
Right.
Right? I don't know if you have. Maybe I'm being, like, too idealistic about this, but I would imagine, like, because that's sort of the first time that you have to, okay, I'm going to a better competition. I have to prove 100%. Myself. I have to prove I'm this and prove I'm that. And you already done that. Like, that was the first time you did what you're doing this year.
Right, right. So what do you mean exactly?
No, I'm sorry. Again, I'm just ranting. My point is that you get to a place, I'm going to do this. I am going to be good in college. I am going to get drafted high. In this case, I am going to do this heading into the 2024 season. You put your mind to something and you do it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that, you know, going to college is very rewarding in that aspect. You know, if, obviously, guys that get drafted first round out of high school are in a different spot than I was in, you know, talent-wise, and probably mental strength-wise. There's a lot that comes with that, you know, that tier of player. However, I think that going to college is huge for just, like, that role of that inner development and growth.
Mm. When you did you lean on anybody? Did you get advice from anybody heading this year into this year from other starters, from other veterans, like you said, Hochaver? You know, it's like
right, right.
Like anybody else that you talked to?
Really, just our staff. You know, whether it be, you know, players or coaching staff. Katz was really huge for me in that regard. Having done it, not entirely with Rodon, he had history of being a starter, but, you know, going from a small innings limit to then just kind of being set free. You know, he had done it with him. I talked about it a lot with Fetty before the deadline, and, you know, he was huge for me in that aspect of really just, like, developing a routine. I had done the starting routine in college, but it was a 7-day routine.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot of critiquing that I had to do in that regard, and I actually trained with him in the off season, so I was able to really kind of go into spring training with something concrete.
When you, so you're going through the year, you make the All-Star game again. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We can never say congratulations enough. But now it's like you have two different things that are, like, you're looking at after the All-Star game. It's trade deadline, and then it's like what this is going to look like at the end of the year.
Right.
Two very, like, sort of awkward things, right? Like, you want to celebrate the season, but it's two different awkward things.
Right.
Like, what was it? Was that hard? Like, the first, you know, the first thing is the trade deadline stuff. Was that hard to get through that?
Yeah, it was tough, but, I mean, it comes with the territory, I suppose, you know, of, like, being wanted by opposing clubs. So there was positive and negatives. Obviously, the negative being that, like, you know, the organization that drafted me and everything that I know, all my friends are here. You know, my wife's grown comfortable in Chicago. It's and that potentially fading away. But also knowing that you're wanted by someone else is, you know, that's the pro in the scenario, I suppose. But then at the end of the day, to be here, I think it was the right. Everything happened for a reason, I think, during the trade deadline. You know, I I moved on from it now, and obviously the offseason will be a different challenge when it comes. But, you know, until then, I'm just going to keep going start to start.
You probably asked this. Were you surprised, like, on August 1st, you were still white
side? No, not surprised. I knew that there were a lot of moving pieces. With the innings limit moving forward, really not having done this before, and then with my age, I felt like the White Sox, you know, were probably asking for a lot, and rightfully so. That makes me feel pretty good.
So, I
wasn't really surprised.
And then you get into, like you say, like innings limit. And we just talked to Grady Sizemore about, he said, you're making every start.
Right.
But you're making every start, but, you know, that's a weird dynamic.
Right.
So I'm going to accentuate the positive. You're making every start.
Right. And that's been, you know, my conversations with the staff, that's been kind of the overwhelming thing that everyone kind of has to say, is making every start, I think, is the most important thing. Getting through the end of the year, being a true starter, continuing on the five-day routine, I think that's the most important thing here.
Does it, as you sit here, are you excited for what awaits? I mean,
honestly, yeah, definitely.
Because, well, again, a year ago, there's unknowns. There's excitement. But there's a lot of unknowns.
Right. It's. I try not to think too much about next year, but it definitely will feel good to be set free. And, you know, but at the same time, you know, that was how I felt this year. Up until the All-Star break, I felt like, you know, every fifth day I was doing everything that I could, doing everything that other starters in the league were doing. It was just a matter of knowing, I suppose, that it was going to tamper down at some point. But, yeah.
You feel good, though?
Yeah, feeling good.
You feel like the great game of baseball.
Right? Yeah. Arm health's been great. Velocity's been better than ever, so it's all I could ask for.
And so let me ask you this. So I like to conclude a lot of these things. There's no wrong answers. Why, for you, isn't baseball boring?
I feel like every time that you go to a game, you see something new. For me, I like the individual aspect of it. Like, nobody has the same pitching arsenal. Nobody has the same batting stance. You and I could throw the same pitch, but different results happen. I love that aspect of it, is that you can't determine the outcome. The best team doesn't always win, sort of thing. I just like that. Yeah, that's probably my answer. I realize I just gave you like three or four different things.
But you know what? They were all nails.
Yeah.
They're all good.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, that's why I love asking this question, because there were so many different answers. It's sort of like when we talk about when you first went to a baseball game, a major league game. When was that? Like,
my debut. I never went to one as a kid. Yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Should I know this? This
is like, no, it's not. It's not.
It's not common knowledge.
You ever reveal that? I don't know if I've told anybody that. Yeah.
First ever. Is that true?
Or I suppose my first ever, I got there in the seventh inning. I don't remember if we were playing the Twins or the Guardians. I was on the taxi squad, so I came up from the alternate side to Chicago, got there in the seventh inning, flew to Cincinnati, and made my...
That doesn't count.
Yeah, I didn't think so either, so I haven't been counting
first,
that one.
Your first... So that was the first time you walked into a major league ballpark.
Yep.
So usually I say, like, what's your impressions when you walk into a major league ballpark? And you're like, oh, well, when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
You know, like, I walk in here, like, honestly, we're talking at Fenway Park, and I'm like, the green, I remember, like, the green is never greener, the whites are never whiter and everything. But you're probably, it's a little bit different.
Yeah, question. It was a little different. Nobody was there.
Oh, is that true?
It was 2020. It was COVID, so nobody, there were no fans. So it was a little different. It was like, yeah, the stadium felt really big, but no fans made it feel, you know, pretty normal, I suppose.
Yeah. So when was it? When did it didn't feel normal? What was a game that you've like, this feels different? Because again, we're wiping out 2020.
Right.
From memory.
It was really probably the crosstown matchup at Wrigley in 21.
Okay.
You know, the bullpens. Is it chain link now? Yeah, it's chain link now. We went there this year. The visiting one's chain link, but it used to just be a glass wall.
Yeah.
So you go in there, and by the time that you come out, you know, it's real lively, but you can't hear any of it when you're in the pen. So I came out in extra innings, I want to say, on game two in 21, and the place was just erupting.
And that just hit different.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's good. Like, that makes me feel good.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, of course.
There's no human being I'd rather be talking to right now than Ken Rosenthal. Fact.
Lie.
That's not a lie. So let's talk Juan Soto. I think it's really like fascinating sort of situation here. Just I guess your overall opinion on where this stands right now compared to maybe even where you thought it might stand when he came to the Yankees.
I thought he needed to have a good year with the Yankees. Not that his value was going to tank or anything like that, but with San Diego, it wasn't great. It was really good, but it wasn't Juan Soto impact all the time. And he's done that with the Yankees. He's had a great year. So the demand for him is going to be, in my opinion, intense. It's not going to be maybe 10 teams, but teams that want him, the two in New York, I would think. Maybe another big market team or two. He'll be in.
Do you think that the perception of him, like, as like you said, you hear things in San Diego, but the perception of him has been built to the another level now, because not only because of what he's done on the field, but I mean, he hasn't really had any hiccups, it seems. Like, do you think it's been built up a little bit?
Yeah, it was always pretty high, Rob, honestly. It wasn't like, oh man, Juan Soto's value is going to descend to $200 million.
Yeah.
It was always going to be big. If for no other reason than he is a great player at a young age. There was always that fact. So even if, let's say, he had a mediocre year here, he's still a 26-year-old free agent with amazing on-base skills, power, the offensive package that few in history have had. So I don't know that it's changed much, but I expect it to be a really big number. And $500 million is a floor, to me, is realistic. And people can say, well, how can he get that money? Oh, Ohtani is a pitcher and a hitter. He got 70. Again, look at the age. The age.
Let me ask you this. There's two teams, and you had mentioned the Yankees. Another team, someone mentioned one day, right? And they haven't spent a lot of money lately. And but still, at the same time, they offered a big contract to him. So they have that money. What's your perception of that?
I don't trust their owners to go all in again. He turned them down once. They traded him. And I'm sure he would entertain anything. He's a Scott Boras client. He's going for the biggest number. No doubt about that. And should the Nationals be in? They absolutely should be in. I just can't read their ownership. Their ownership, they're selling. They're not trading.
The young guys, too, so they can just lean on that, right?
And their young guys are really good.
Yeah. So the other part, the other team, there's not even team market, New York. Okay, I was going to focus on the Yankees, but the Mets popped into my head. Perception of those two teams.
I can see the Mets doing this. They're run by an analytically minded president of baseball operations now, David Stearns. He's looking at actuarial tables like everybody else, and he likes the youth. And they also have stripped down, relatively speaking, and by clearing out Verlander and Scherzer and that money, I know they're still way above the threshold, but I can see them being involved here. I'd be surprised if they were not involved here. In fact, I was surprised they weren't involved on Judge, and I thought they would be all along, and for some reason they backed off. And I remember there were some people writing, they're showing respect to the Yankees, which is ridiculous to me. But this time I don't think that carries.
So the last thing is on the interesting meter when it comes to this offseason. We had last offseason. It might have been, you know, you had Yamamoto, you had Ohtani, you had all these guys. I mean, obviously you have Soto now. For you, as it's lining up here, and I know we got a couple of months to go, but how interesting is this going to be?
Rob, I always think it's interesting.
Yeah, it always is. That's a stupid
guy to ask. But no, I know what you're saying. I guess the real question is, how sexy is the market?
Yeah.
There's no Ohtani, okay? But Soto is a big name. Corbin Burnes is a big free agent. And Boras has this stable of guys. Soto, Burnes, Bregman, Alonso. Snell's going to go back out. Bellinger might go back out. Chapman has done his extension. So I do think it's going to be really interesting. I also think that certain teams, like the one that you follow, need to wake up a little bit. And it'll be interesting to see how they handle the offseason. So to me, they're all always interesting. But in terms of the quality of the class, it's pretty good.
Yeah. All right, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Rob. All right.